I want to welcome those of you who are in our refuge worship services this morning. We have five, and you're joining us at our 8 o'clock early morning worship service. If you're visiting with us, my name is Wade Burleson, and I'm one of the pastors here at Emmanuel. We want to wish you a happy Easter. We're going to look this morning at just one verse of Scripture and spend just a few moments before we go talking about the Jesus that we have just worshiped. We're in a series of messages from the book of Hebrews. It was a letter written by a man soon after Christ had risen from the grave to encourage his fellow Israelites, his fellow Jews, the Hebrews, who had come to faith in Christ, not to turn away from their faith. And in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, we have a wonderful verse that tells us a little bit about Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Let me read it for you. For it was fitting for Him, and the Him there is our Heavenly Father. It was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. Now, don't let that phrase sons throw you. It's generic. It means children. It means you and me. In bringing many people to heaven, it was fitting for the Father to perfect the author of their salvation through sufferings. This verse is referring to the cross, to the death of Jesus Christ. We know that because if you look at verse 9, the very last phrase of the verse preceding this one refers to the death of Christ. And as I'll show you next week and the following week, the verses that come after verse 10 are some of the most powerful verses you will ever read regarding the death of Jesus Christ. So Hebrews 2, verse 10, the verse we just read, refers to the death of Christ at the cross of Calvary. And in this verse, we have one of the names given to us for Jesus in the New Testament. In the New American Standard version of the Bible that I just read, it's the name Author. In the King James Version, I love this translation best, it is the name Captain. In essence, Jesus is called by the writer of Hebrews the captain of our salvation. The actual Greek word means to lead off. We get our word pioneer from the word. It's the person who takes charge and goes first and leads off and is the author, the captain of those who come behind. I want you to see what it means for Jesus to be the captain of your salvation. Three simple things this morning in the next few moments and we'll be done. Number one, this captain is responsible for those whom he's been given. It's that little phrase in verse 10. Bringing many sons to glory. Let me pause right there and show you what that means. By the way, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are part of the many. Now, there's been recently a book written by a man named Rob Bell, a Christian man. It's entitled Love Wins. And in that book, he makes the proposition that every single human being who has ever lived or whoever will live will ultimately arrive in glory or in heaven because God is a God of love and love wins. He is what is called a universalist. This one verse alone refutes that teaching. The Father has chosen to perfect the Son through the cross to bring many to glory. Not every, not all, many. Now, it's not a few. By the way, those of you who think that those whom the Father saves through Christ are a few people only, this verse refutes that. It's many. Revelation says it's an innumerable company from every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. But it's not every. It's not every. The good news for those of you who have come to faith in Christ is that the captain is responsible for you. He has reached down and taken hold of you. And by the way, if he has gripped you with his hand of grace, he will never let go. He is the captain of my salvation. But now notice a second thing. This captain is not only responsible, this captain is effectual in the work that he performs. I want to show you the first phrase of this verse. It was fitting for him, that is the Father, in bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the captain of our salvation through sufferings. In other words, this verse is saying, God the Father put his Son to the cross to bring you to glory, and he loved it. It was fitting for him. Now listen carefully to what I'm about to say. Some of you have rational problems with the concept of Jesus dying at Calvary, having nails put into his hands and his feet, a spear into his side. And through his death, you are delivered from the condemnation of your sins. Some of you have a logical, rational problem with that. You're saying to yourself, how can that be? It doesn't make sense. Why would the Heavenly Father give his Son in death? Isn't that the old bloody religions, the old pagan religions that those of us who have now in our wisdom become sophisticated and intellectual have set aside? All I can say to you is this. Your argument is with God, not Christians. Your argument is with your Creator, not religion. Your argument is with the Heavenly Father, not even your earthly father. Look at this phrase, it was fitting for him. Do you know what it means? It translates a phrase that has the idea that something is beautiful. It just fits. It's gorgeous. It's stunning. It's astonishing. It is fitting. It would be like you going into an art gallery and you seeing a portrait and you saying to yourself, that's stunning, that's beautiful. This is the phrase, it was fitting for the Father. Now, if you were ever in an art gallery and you were to see a piece of art, now I've done this, I've been at Museum of Modern Art in New York City, and I look at that art and I think to myself, good night, I could do better than that. Then I see the price tag and it's like millions of dollars, and I think, man, I'm in the wrong business. You know, you might be in a gallery and looking at a portrait, you might say to yourself, that's just awful. I don't understand that. And you have every right, you are free to criticize the painting. But you will never be friends with the painter. You can criticize what Jesus did at the cross, but you will never be friends with the Father. Because it was fitting for the Father in bringing many to glory, to perfect the captain of those many through sufferings. This is why Easter is not just once a year. It's really daily. Because the more you fall in love with what Jesus did for sinners like us, the more intimate you become with the Father. Because it was fitting for Him to perfect His Son through the sufferings of the cross to bring you to glory. But I close by showing you this. Not only do we see that this captain was and is responsible for those given to him, the many sons. Not only do we see that he is effectual, but this captain is merciful for those suffering in this life. You see, the word sufferings in verse 10 refers to the cross. And you've probably seen Mel Gibson's movie or you've heard about it. And I know you've maybe seen other movies where there has been an attempt to visually portray the pain and the agony of the cross. I can't even begin to try to do that this morning verbally. Frankly, I would fall short. But this word suffering or sufferings portrays what Jesus endured for you. In essence, what he did was he bore the condemnation of your sins, everything you've ever done wrong, in the eyes of your Creator. Jesus bore the punishment for them. You say, well, I can't even understand why God would punish sin. If you get a chance, you ought to come back the next couple of weeks because I'll show you. I'll show you from our text what it means for the Lord to punish your wrongdoing. But when you begin to understand that the Father saw it fitting, a beautiful thing, to give His Son to punish those who would trust His Son in Him. In other words, your sins condemned in the Son. It was fitting for the Father to perfect the Son through sufferings at the cross that you might be delivered to glory. Wow, when you begin to understand that, then what happens is this. As you go through life and you bear the consequences of a cursed world, you bear the consequences of your own actions, your own sins, you don't feel, you don't experience, you never receive the condemnation of your Father. It's already been poured out. Now what you have is a merciful Father, a merciful captain who endured the cross for you so that in your time of need, you will find the mercy you need. Let me explain and I'll be done. If you're here this morning and you've really screwed up, you've messed your life up, you've done things that frankly you're ashamed of, you blush when they're mentioned, but you've had to mention them, either because they're public or the people who love you know, and you really, really feel ashamed, let me ask you to do a couple of three things. Number one, when in doubt about yourself, turn your eye of faith toward your captain. In other words, Jesus didn't die for perfect people. He died for sinners. And it was fitting for the Father to perfect the captain of our salvation through suffering. So when you begin to feel your imperfection, cast your eye of faith to your captain, to your pioneer, to the author of your salvation. Second, when reminded of your failings in this life, and you will be reminded of them, turn your eye of faith toward your captain. In other words, the best way I could put this is in the video that we showed this morning of Belle Jones. Powerful video. She was abandoned. She was abandoned by a husband who had pledged to love her. That hurt. But her identity is not tied up in a relationship with her husband. You see, in the midst of her hurt, and you heard her say this, she cast her eye of faith toward her captain. And what that means is, Belle began to see that she cannot be defined by any human relationship. She cannot be measured in terms of her worth by whether or not she's rejected by a human. Because the Father has seen it fitting to give His Son for Belle. Therefore, in the midst of hurt and in the midst of pain, when she's been reminded by others of how worthless she is, she turns to the Father who reminds her how worthy she is. You say, worthy in what sense? Worthy not that she is perfect. Worthy in the sense that He loved her enough to give His Son for her. But finally, when in time of need, whatever that need, turn your eye of faith toward your captain, He will never fail you. I guess all I can say to you is what the Apostle Paul once said. He who gave His Son for us, how shall He not freely with Him give us all things we need? This Easter, I'd like to leave you with just a thought about the surprising goodness of God. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you have come to appreciate the beauty of what the Father has done in the Son, and you understand, like He, that it was fitting, it was gorgeous, it was a wonderful thing, and you have embraced it, you have accepted it, then all the goodness of God is yours. His very name, God, means good. Now, I can't say that to those who ridicule the cross. I can't say that. Because again, you can't criticize a portrait and be friends with the one who painted it. But if you've come to faith in Christ, oh my word, His goodness is surprising. We've got a Coke machine in the fellowship hall, and I'm addicted to Diet Dr. Pepper. I love it. It's very irritating and aggravating when the Diet Dr. Pepper runs out. I make phone calls to wonder why we're out. And they come out and refill it. For the last week, you put in 75 cents for a can of Diet Dr. Pepper. It falls to the bottom. You reach in and you pull it out. 10 seconds later, a second can of Diet Dr. Pepper falls to the tray. Two for the price of one. I'm not kidding. It did it this morning. That's a little bit like the goodness of God. It falls in mercy drops. And then He will surprise you again. And again. And again. And again. And it's all because you have seen the cross and you find it fitting in the same manner the Father finds it fitting. Now, if you're here this morning, I would say two things by way of a challenge to you before I close us in prayer. If you have never come to faith in Christ, I would ask you, what in the world are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? You say, I don't know. Well, I think what you're waiting for is the Spirit of God to move on your heart. And I think He is. I think your presence here today is a sign of it. Second, if you have come to faith in Christ, why would you not make public your love for Him through baptism? That's the way you tell others of your love for the Lord Jesus. It's your public testimony of your faith in Christ. If you need Christ this morning, or if you'd like to follow Him and say to people, I'm not ashamed of His life, of His death, of His resurrection, through baptism, Pastor Kevin, myself, others would love to visit with you in the fellowship hall. But I hope this Easter you've been encouraged by this one verse that says, for it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things, and through whom are all things, in bringing many to glory, to perfect the captain of their salvation through sufferings.